timely song. It's good to say that every now and again, to proclaim that. Yeah, thanks guys, if I can use that. It's good to worship with you guys this morning. I know we come from different weeks, different situations, and we're going to open up God's Word today, and we're going to thank you so much, Jake and Bo. We're going to receive what He has for us, and today's going to be a good day. And it's always a good time to be in the house of the Lord and worship Him and to receive from His Word. So that's what we're going to do. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. But you can start in chapter 1. Before we do that, not sure where Pastor Jen is. Is she in the area somewhere? She's out of town. She's out of town. Pastor Jen is out of town. And I have been out of town. So that is why. But anyways, I ask that because we have a special announcement in regards to Pastor Jen. A really exciting time for her and her family. We had a conversation a few weeks ago, and she and Sean feel like the Lord is leading them on their next chapter of their life in ministry. And so they will be leaving at the end of July, wrapping up their tenure here at Brookview. And so she and Sean have done a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job leading our students. And they have just taken it and gone an extra mile and really invested their time and energy and sacrificed a lot to make sure that our children and youth understand the gospel, understand the love of Christ, understand who He is. And it's evident how well she did by just talking to the students. They are very articulate in their faith, and Jen did a great job. So when you see her, please let her know what a wonderful job she did and how much we appreciate her. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to pray over our student ministry as we move forward. What we're going to do in the meantime, Jen will be here until the end of July. She's taking the students to youth camp next week, so she won't be here next Sunday either. But again, she'll be here up until the very end of July. July 31st will be her last Friday, and then she'll move on. But if you see her in the meantime, be sure to thank her for a wonderful job that she did. And so what we're going to do, again, in the meantime, I've had extensive conversations with Ryan Allen, who has been an intern over the last 2 years, and I've just had good conversation with him, and so he's agreed in the meantime, starting in August until the end of August, reaching into September, to kind of fill in as the interim leader for the youth. And what we'll do, starting in August, we will I'll begin to put together a job description, send that out, and hopefully by the beginning of September, we will be able to hire someone new for that position of student ministry pastor. And that will be an associate position here at Brookview, a paid position. So, but for the month of August, what will happen is Ryan will be, again, the interim lead director over our youth, and we will be able to pay him a stipend to serve in that position. So for the month of August, what we'll do on Sunday mornings with the children is what they're doing right now, have family worship for the month of August. And then on Wednesday, myself and some other of you leaders will do the children on Wednesday night. And then Ryan will do the youth on Wednesday night. So we got it all covered. God is good. God is faithful. He will take care of us. We will continue to move and look forward to what He has in store for our children and youth. We put a high priority on our children and youth, so we know that God does too, and we're going to do our best to fill that position as quickly as possible. And it's such a blessing. Again, this is credit to Jen for the wonderful job that she did to bring in interns, to bring in students that can just keep the transition smooth. The students already know Ryan. They already know his personality and who he is, so they're going to be able to have that consistency that they need through the month of August and then reaching into September. And hopefully, by the beginning of September, we'll have someone that we can offer the job to and then continue in the ministry as we spill into this fall semester coming up. So this Wednesday, though, Jen is going to be here, and we're going to have a church-wide party for her. So I'd love to invite you to that. That's going to be at 6 p.m. right here in the Fellowship Hall, a church-wide party just to celebrate the wonderful work that she did. And we're going to reach out to her. We're going to love on her. We are going to tell some fun stories, tell some jokes, laugh about the good times, and thank her for the wonderful ministry. So that's this Wednesday at 6 p.m., a party for Pastor Jen and Sean right here in the Fellowship Hall. So I'm going to send out an email later on today kind of detailing those steps and what we'll be doing. So Don't worry, we got it under control. Most importantly, God does, and He will send us the right person. So your job and my job is just to pray. Let's be in prayer for our students. Let's be in prayer for the next leader. And let's be in prayer for our church as we make this transition. And we're so excited for Jen and Sean as they look forward to their next step in ministry. They did a wonderful job here. And so let's celebrate that. And then let's continue to celebrate what He has in store for us next. So that's an important announcement I wanted to let you know. Let's pray right now. And what we're going to do is, as I pray, pray for our students. Pray for our student ministry. Pray for the next pastor and leader who is in that position. And pray that the Lord will lead us to that person sooner than later. And let's just pray a prayer of protection over our student ministries. Lord, we thank You that we can come to You with this request. And we know that this is Your church, this is Your bride, and so You will, without a doubt, take care of it. So may we be quiet enough to hear where You're leading us in this direction of finding a new youth and student pastor. I pray through the transition, Lord, that as it's always difficult to transition from one thing to the next, that You will just keep us calm, keep us focused on You. Remind us daily that You got it, that You're in control, and that You will lead us to the next person. So I pray that You will give us discernment, that You'll give us wisdom as we make that decision, as I meet with leaders and as I meet with people and candidates. Lord, steer my mind, give me wisdom so that we can find the right person, the right fit for these awesome, awesome students. We love them. We want to protect them. We're very protective here, Lord, so may we do our best. May we do our best and not just rush into a decision so we can have it done, but may we do our best to find that right person. Lead them to us, and may Your will be done. Protect us now as we begin the work, and may we celebrate Jen and Sean this Wednesday. May they know how much we love them, and may You bless their ministry as they move forward. Protect them as a couple. Protect them as a family. May they stay faithful to each other. May they stay faithful to You and the calling You've placed on her life. We thank You for them and we celebrate them. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. 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 Awesome. And again, I'll send out an email later on today, I hope, just to outline some of those things that we'll be doing in August and in September. So let's jump into God's Word. I'm excited to do this, and just straight out of the gate, this is a message that the Lord brought to me, and I feel it's very applicable and appropriate for us as Brookview, as we go through some transitions, as I just mentioned, for us to hear today. So I'd like to apologize if I'll step on some toes, but I can't, because I'm just going to preach God's Word, and may the Holy Spirit do what He wants with your heart. I just ask that it's open enough to receive His Word. My prayer that through this message is not that I'll be heard, but that the Lord will be seen and heard through the text, and I'm just a deliverer. So buckle up, and let's jump into this book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 will be there. And as you're looking at that, think of this. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't want to be? Or a place where you couldn't wait to leave? Think about that place. Maybe it was recently, maybe it was a long time ago, and you just remember a specific, maybe a geographical location where you just could not wait to get out of. You didn't want to be there. Think about that place. I remember for me, it was on a missions trip, ironically. I was in Costa Rica with my soccer team in college. And I was in Costa Rica, and it was great. But the fact was, I didn't really want to be there, because back home, it was my cousin's wedding weekend, and I wasn't able to be at his wedding. I also didn't want to be there because I had a recent death in the family. And so I wanted to be there for my family, but I was stuck in Costa Rica, which was awesome. I mean, you can't complain about that. But I remember just thinking, I do not want to be here. I want to be with my family. I want to be away from this place. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And so think about a place that you've been where you just couldn't get out of there fast enough, where you didn't want to be there. Nothing inside of you wanted to be right there. Think about that place. And as you think about that, let me describe a place that would answer that question for all of us. Let me describe it here. It's a place in Scripture where a murder happened. It's a place in Scripture where a suicide happened. It's a place where corrupt government happened, angry mobs happened, false accusations happened, religious persecution happened, friends turned on friends, friends betrayed friends, and shady deals took place often. That is the place that I think none of us would want to be. And if we were there, we would want to get out of there as soon as possible. Now, if you picked up on some of those things, the place that I'm describing is a place we all know and are very familiar with in Scripture called Jerusalem. That is Jerusalem. This is where Jesus was arrested and killed. This is where shady deals went down to find Jesus. This is where angry mobs turned on him. This is where Peter denied him. This is where Judas betrayed him and later killed himself. And this is where the disciples feared for their lives in Jerusalem. All these things happened within and around Jerusalem. Not a place anybody in their right mind would want to be. If you found yourself there, that would probably answer the question that I asked. Have you ever been to a place where you did not want to be, where you could not wait to get out of? That was Jerusalem at this time. When Jesus was there and when he died and when he ascended and his apostles were still there, that was the culture of Jerusalem then and there. And yet, if you have your book, if you have your Bible open to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4, we see Paul tell the readers an important command. Jesus tells his apostles this. Read with me in your Bible, Acts 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem. Are you reading that? Do not leave Jerusalem. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. So after Jesus ascends, the disciples obey. If you continue to read, and they watch him go up, and an angel says, hey, you guys, let's go. Get back to work. And so they go back to Jerusalem. Now at that time, he said that it might not have been a big deal. But now, with all that has happened in Jerusalem, Jesus is telling us not to leave ground zero. In fact, stay at ground zero. Not to leave Jerusalem. The last place they want and need to be right now. He tells them, don't leave Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the gift that I have for you. I mean, they know how volatile Jerusalem is. And Jesus is very clear. Stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave. Go there and wait for me. Wait for me. So the apostles obeyed and they went back and they stayed and they waited. They stayed at ground zero and waited for the Holy Spirit. If you think about it, you know, we wouldn't blame them if they didn't. You know, practically speaking, you know, okay, here's a fresh start. The Lord gave us a command. He gave us the Great Commission. Let's go somewhere else. Let's go where there's no drama, there's no pain, there's no suffering. Let's get a fresh start over here, where we're not being persecuted, where there's not betrayal, where there's not baggage. Let's go on the other side where the grass appears to be a little greener. Let's start there. Let's start a new chapter. It seems like a good time to get out of here. Let's go over there and begin something new. I wouldn't have blamed them if that's what I was reading in the book of Acts. I think we all would have just kept on reading because that makes perfect sense if that's what we saw. But we don't. The apostles did what they were told by Jesus. And they didn't leave. They stayed and waited in Jerusalem. And you know what happened? In Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit descend on them in a very powerful, powerful way at Pentecost. Where were they? In Jerusalem, where all these things had just recently taken place. That is where the Holy Spirit fell on them in a very powerful, powerful way. The church started in a place where there was pain, where there was hurt, where there was baggage, where there was fear, where there was selfishness. The church started in a place like that. And ever since then, I think the church thrives in a place like that. That's where the church started, and I think that's where it needs to be. Because the church is made up of people. And the Lord said, stay in Jerusalem. I know it's so tempting to go out and start somewhere else and leave all this mess. But Jesus said, wait for me there. And they obeyed. And sure enough, I'm sure when they wanted to quit, when they wanted to throw in the towel, that's when the Holy Spirit fell on them. That's when God began to honor them and began to work among them. because they stayed and they waited. The church thrives in a place like that today. Let me explain. We see later in Acts chapter 4, verse 33. It says this, "With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully on them, at work in them all." With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection. And how awesome is it that they could testify of the resurrection to the people that put him on the cross? Because they stayed there, the people they were witnessing to already knew everything that had happened because they were part of it. They were part of the mess. And so they got to minister to the people that caused the mess. And they got to see people change, the same people that were crying out, "Crucify him." They got to testify to the resurrection of Christ, to the same people that had turned on him. Another example is Acts 2:22. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." I mean, he's talking to these people. You know, you saw him. You've seen what he's done. You've seen who he was. And he's talking to the same people that crucified him. The song we sang that says, "God, you're able to reconcile the ones who nailed you to the cross." And that's what Paul and the apostles and Peter get to do. They get to reconcile, they get to minister to the same people that put him on the cross. What an honor. Instead of leaving and ministering to someone else, they stayed right there and ministered and loved and invested in the same people that caused the mess. They didn't leave, they stayed. They stayed. And they now get to minister to the people who need him most. Hurt people hurt people. And these people are hurt. They're confused. They don't know what way up. They're just going with the tide. Whatever people tells them to do, that's what they do. And they get to minister to the people who need it most, when it would be easier to just leave. God says, Jesus says, "Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for me there. Wait for me." Jesus told them to stay and wait. One of my favorite pastors is Tim Keller. He pastors a church up in New York, and he says this. I'm going to quote him. He says, "Jesus lost all his glory so that we can be clothed in it. He was shut out so that we could have access. He was bound, nailed, so that we can be free. He was cast out so we could approach. And Jesus took away the only kind of suffering that can really destroy you, that is being cast away from God. He took so that now all suffering that comes into your life will only make you great. A lump of coal under pressure becomes a diamond, and the suffering of a person in Christ only turns you into somebody gorgeous." And that's what happens when we hear the Lord just say, "Don't leave, stay." It's easier to leave, I understand. I mean, look around you. But God wants to do something in you. And I think if we stay just a little bit longer, that's when the Holy Spirit comes. That's when He honors us. That's when Pentecost happened. Because they stayed and they waited. That's when the Holy Spirit fell on them in a powerful way that changed the trajectory of the church forever. That's what happened. So there they are in Jerusalem, where it all went down, ground zero. That's where they stayed. In a place that doesn't make sense, that's where they stayed. When it would have been easier to leave, they stay. And I just want to look at some things that they do. When they're in Jerusalem, they do three things that I want to encourage us to do. When it's easier to leave, this is what we need to do. When the Holy Spirit just prompts us, "Hey, don't be reactionary. Stay. Wait for me. Don't leave." Let's do what they did. One thing that they did, they waited. Waiting is differently than just staying, because when you wait, you're waiting for something. You're anticipating something. I'm waiting. And God told them to wait. Acts 1:4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, But wait for the gift of that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. May we not get so freaked out and start making things worse than they really are and start assuming things and doing things. Don't panic. Don't panic. God is in control. This is His church. We don't need to freak out. God is in control. Let's wait for Him. Instead of trying to take the reins and take control, let's wait upon Him. Wait for Him as the apostles did. And I love what waiting can do. Because when we wait, we're not forced to do anything. So when we wait, I want to encourage us to rest too. Rest in the Lord. Enjoy His presence. Instead of being busy trying to do things on our own, man-made things, and trying to fix things on our own, just rest in the Lord, Brookview. Just rest in Him. Just enjoy His presence. He is good. Look around you. Rest in Him. This is not our church. This is His. He's in control. He will take care of us. Just wait. Enjoy Him. Rest in Him. And the apostles did that. Rest in Him. Number one, they just waited. They didn't try to think and figure out how to do it on their own. They waited on Him. Wait and rest. And number two, obviously very vital, Acts 1:14 tells us something important. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Constantly in prayer. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. So instead of worrying and trying to get out of Jerusalem, they just prayed constantly. They just prayed. They didn't have answers. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. They just prayed constantly. Brookview, I want to encourage you as individuals and as a church, may we be guilty of just praying constantly. Getting on our hands and our faces and just praying to the Lord. Asking for wisdom, asking for guidance. Casting our cares on Him. Praying constantly as the apostles did right there at Ground Zero in Jerusalem. They prayed constantly. And number three, something very important. They worked. They worked. In the midst of craziness, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of being in Jerusalem, number three, they worked. Let me read. It's right here in Acts 1:21-26. Therefore, it's necessary to choose one of the men who has been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of His resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, You know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two You have chosen to take over the apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. So in the midst of craziness and confusion and being in the midst of Jerusalem, they knew they still had to continue to do the work of the church, to continue to do the work of the apostles. They didn't stop doing what they knew they needed to do. And although it was difficult, you know, I mean, here they have to replace someone because he committed suicide, and they have to really deal with those hard issues. But they continued to work. They continued to meet together and to do what they knew they needed to do. And I want to reassure you, Brookview, that your LBA that you elected will do what we need to do. As your pastor, I will do my best to do what I have been elected to do. No, we're not perfect. But may you just rest that I'm seeking the Lord, that the LBA is seeking the Lord, that this church is seeking the Lord to do the work that we need to do. It's not always fun, sometimes messy. But we're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to work to do what the Lord has called us to do. So take comfort in that. We're not going to shirk our responsibility and just, you know, well, we'll deal with that later. We're going to see, Lord, how can we be the church that You've called us to be? How can we bring hope to the hurting through the holiness of Jesus Christ in order to make disciples? How can we continue to be the church, Lord? That's all that I'm concerned about. I have no agenda here except for to do His will. And I know that's the board's heart too. And that's the apostles' hearts. They just wanted to work for the Lord. They just wanted to continue to make sure that the apostles were recruiting people that could they could continue to testify of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's all they wanted to do. And so they did these three things. They waited, they prayed, and they worked. And when they did all those three things, we read what happens in Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. Read this with me if you have your Bibles. After they had been in Jerusalem, after they had waited, after they had prayed, after they had worked, when everyone else had gotten out of Dodge, when it would have been easier for them to leave too, Acts 2 tells us this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now that's powerful because you see that only happened because they obeyed. It only happened because they honored the Lord and what He told them to do. So I want to thank you guys for being here. As we go through transition, as we go through things and you find yourself at ground zero, may we just stay put and remain and pray and wait and watch as the Lord honors that. And I pray very soon that the Lord will honor you as you stay committed to this local church, as you honor the local church and honor the Lord by continuing to serve, by continuing to work, continue to pray, and continue to wait. The Spirit fell on them. And so, we find our church in what seems like Jerusalem. And so some of you need to hear. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. So Brookview, I challenge you and I encourage you and I empathize with you to stay and wait, rest in the Lord. Stay and pray constantly and stay and work, doing the work of the Lord. May we never tire in doing what is good. It's darkest just before dawn. Don't give up on this place. Don't give up on each other. I know we find ourselves sometimes in what seems like Jerusalem. But may we continue to love each other. May we continue to love the Lord. May we continue to understand that we have the hope that the world needs and administer that. The Holy Spirit fell on them in Jerusalem. So don't miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do here. Even though the grass seems greener on the other side, let's stay, watch, wait, pray, and work. That same day, Peter addresses the crowd and he begins to quote the prophet Joel. And he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He's telling the people that. And so as we conclude, I want us to do that. As a church and as individuals, as families, let's call on the name of the Lord. Let's call on Him. Let's call on Him in repentance. Let's call on Him in salvation. Let's call on Him to rescue us. Call on His name, Brookview, for your family, for this church, for our nation. Because Scripture tells us right there, when we call on Him, He comes. He hears us. He falls on us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. Let's call on Him. And so as the worship team comes back up, I want to read again what happened when they were obedient to the instructions that the Lord gave them. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Spirit fell on them when they were at ground zero. You may find yourself at ground zero. You may find yourself, again, going back to that first question, have you ever found yourself in a place where you didn't want to be, where you couldn't wait to get out? Sometimes God says, I know you feel that way, but just wait. Because the moment you want to quit, I'm just about to send you some good stuff. I'm just about to come. Don't give up. So let's do that. Let's cry out to the Lord, for He saves us. So as the worship team comes up, you can pray in your seat, you can come up to the altar, but we need to call out to the Lord. Let's let our voices, let's let our requests, let's let our hurt rise up to the Lord and let Him hear us so that then we can invite Him to fall fresh on us. So let's do that now. Let's go before the Lord. Please, Brookview, we need this. This is not just some Sunday where you leave and then you come back again. This time right now is crucial for our church. Call out to the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's call on the name of the Lord. So as the worship team plays, wherever you are, please, on behalf of the church, on behalf of your family, call on the name of the Lord.